This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What time is it?
It's crowded time!
Excuse me. Couldn't get to the cough button there in time.
Didn't notice.
Did you just put on your Cubs World Series ring?
It feels good. And I know how much you hate the fact that I got a ring.
Yeah, the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest middle linebackers in Bears history, indeed, down here with Mike Singletary.
Did you see Die Hard?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too. That was awesome.
Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Samurai.
Down to Mark Grody.
Hey, Cordero, can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I ain't even talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So it's been kind of a devastating day for me with Bubba and then the bird. So
Bubby.
And when the Patriots took a 3-0 lead.
No, Les. The Bears were America's team. What are you talking about?
No, they weren't. They weren't. Everybody
sure they were.
Hit,
yeah, they were.
Everybody. You weren't down there. I was.
Mark Grody.
Here I am. Unmuted. There it is.
Oh, hi, Mark.
On 670 The Score.
Here I am. Yes, I am here on the Spiegel and Holm Show. Up until 6 o'clock today, and Spiegel and Holmes not available today. Matt Spiegel just broadcasting that Cubs game you heard. Lawrence Holmes has had a couple of weeks off. He will return next week, so they will be back full force. But I get to be with you for the next hour. I just took in a Cubs game. I wonder if you guys did too. You might have sampled it, right? Might have listened to it a little bit on The Score. Might have watched it on Marquee. Cubs win. They beat the Dodgers by a final score of 7-3. First time that I've gotten to lay eyes on the Cubs for this spring training or early this year. And Miguel Amaya hit a 2-run homer. Jordan Wicks was good enough. Did not allow a run. Allowed 3 hits, couple of strikeouts. Kevin Alcantara had an RBI double and then ripped one to right field too for a hard single late in the game. I do wonder about Kevin Alcantara.
Kevin!
He can do it all. All of the tools are there. He was part of the Anthony Rizzo trade, so you got to kind of look at him. 6'6", 158. So just a guy to think about, and that's one of the guys that I was thinking about watching today. I did. I heard most of the game on the radio today as well, as Matt Spiegel was at the mic. Spiegel, the of this afternoon show, doing the first Score broadcast of the year in Pat Hughes's place, as he did a great job once again, but he got himself into a nightmare scenario at the end of the game. And my God, if it happened what I think happened, he was having a moment there where I do believe, and I think I have backup on this, Tanny, it sure sounded to me as Matt Spiegel was going through the closing credits, which can be a task sometimes to just wrap it up, to land the plane, it would appear
that he had forgotten the engineer's name. Are you feeling that as well, Tanny?
Well, it's a giveaway when you mention everyone else's first and last name, including the producer back here at the shop and everyone else associated with the broadcast. But the other person in the booth with you, other than Coom, there's only two people in the booth with you during a three-hour baseball game, one of them being the engineer. I think you're right, Grody, and we will back you up no matter what you say today, okay? I think Shane will also attest to that. But yeah, I think he did forget the engineer's name. Let's hear it in the listeners. I don't want to sway the jury here, but no. let's see what you guys think out there.
It's a crazy, crazy baseball world. Thank you so much to our engineer who did a great, great job as he always does. Thank you so much, even if the pizza never got here, as far as I know. Thank you to Tyler Buterbaum.
So first of all, Grody, he's expecting the engineer, whose job is not to be his waiter, to get his pizza. Oh, right. And then he swings back around with a second thank you, hoping that the name's going to come to him on the second thank you.
Well,
we know the engineer.
Oh,
I've
known
that engineer
say,
since
Shane.
2012.
Yeah, I think
this, Walt.
Yeah, Walt has been doing...
Walt Ellis.
He's been helping visiting radio, I think, since I was a White Sox board op back when we had the White Sox years and years ago. So... he's been a guy that's been associated with our station, and he's been a friend of the station for a long time. And to not remember the man's name speaks. Come on,
you should know his name.
I mean, this is a guy who was in the military. I mean, he demands respect. When I was doing pregame, Walt Ellis was doing those games, and I remember doing one of those games, and the anthem comes on. This is when I learned that Walt was in the military. As the national anthem began, he did a hardcore, like, military salute and up in the booth. And I was a little bit intimidated. I was like, oh, boy, I better stand up and act accordingly here, or Walt's going to have at it. So that's one of the memories of good old Walt. By the way, the reason they were talking about the pizza is because Walt's phone was ringing in the booth early on, and so they made a joke. I think it was Coomer who said, "Your pizza is ready, Walt." So that's the background on that.
It's a crazy, crazy baseball world. Thank you so much to our engineer who did a great, great job, as he always does. Thank you so much.
He does.
He
really
never got here, as far as I know. Thank you to Tyler Buterbaum.
Very Trumpian. Very like, oh, we got the best engineer. He's Mike Audio.
Oh man, it was great. But no, I enjoyed. Like I said, I heard the majority.
No, I did a great job.
As
we bash him right as the radio show begins.
Well, just for the one thing, not for his performance in the game, just for so disrespectfully not remembering the name of the man who got him on the air.
Hey, man, if we've gotten to the point where it's the stuff in the post game that we're critiquing Spiegel for, I think Matt is in a really good place with his play-by-play. So if that's the best I can come up with, he is doing a great job. So Cubs do win. 7-3 today over the Dodgers. Bears stuff going on today. The Bears are always lurking, and they were hitting today. There are a couple of news items you need to know. One of them, I think, is fairly big and definitely interesting. That is that the Bears today released DeMarcus Walker and Gerald Everett. I'm going to tell you like what all that means here in a second, but also the other just news nugget from the Bears today. This is interesting as well, and something of a big deal too, I suppose. Ian Cunningham, the Bears' assistant general manager to Ryan Poles, did not get the Jacksonville job and ended up going to James Gladstone. So he would appear to be back with the Bears and with Ryan Poles. I know that they were sort of championing him to potentially get his own gig, but he will be back with the Bears and Ryan Poles, and we'll see how that all starts to line up as we get a crack at some of these Bears coaches at the Combine next week, and I will be covering it. But the DeMarcus Walker and Gerald Everett thing, it is interesting. The Walker was here on a three-year $21 million deal, and it just never really worked out for DeMarcus Walker. Certainly not, like, I would not put an F by him with the Bears as a free agent. He had exactly 3.5 sacks in each of the 2 years that he was with the Bears. His first year, he told me that although he played through a lot of it, that he wasn't healthy or feeling like himself until week 12, which, you know, maybe helped to explain some of his lack of production in that year. But not a lot of excuses this past year where he just had the 3.5 sacks. Not a huge impact, not a bad player, but somebody who is releasable. So he goes out the door. Gerald Everett, of the 8 catches and 36 yards from last year, goes out the door. And unfortunately, man, this guy, yeah, this was just a dud. And there was just never any, like, in the locker room. Like, Gerald Everett, nice guy. As far as I could tell, he got along with his teammates. But it always just looked like he was sleeping, like when he was around. Yeah, yeah, Gerald Everett.
I'm trying to think if you ever, like, during one of your 5 p.m. hits with us, ever said, hey, I got some great stuff from Gerald Everett today. I don't know if that's happened.
I didn't want to wake him up. I didn't want to wake him up. There were times when I would see him by his locker, and I was like, no.
Was he the one sleeping in the White Sox dugout? White Sox clubhouse?
Maybe. Check your sources on that, Shane.
All right.
Find out. But, yeah, no surprise.
At no point over the course of this year has there been a reliever sleeping in the bullpen. We do have a player, a position player, who has fairly serious sleep issues.
Yeah, so it wasn't a reliever. So all you guys saying it was a reliever, you're wrong. It's an infielder, idiot.
Oh, man. Hey, that we just did a Sox segment. I feel pretty good about that. I realized that, you know, being in and hosting for Lawrence Holmes this week, I realized that's a struggle, finding White Sox topics. So there we go. Good job. But those two guys are gone. The Bears have now over $67 million in cap space when free agency opens on March 12th. You know, we knew with the salary cap going up around the league, the Bears already had the sixth highest cap space. So they are top 10 cap team. The last time the Bears had big cap space was 2023. As a matter of fact, in 2023, Ryan Poles, at the beginning of the season, had the most cap space to deal with. So I just went back and took a look at what Poles did when he had all that money and just kind of go through and rank these guys, because this is it again. And I understand that Ben Johnson is probably going to have some say. Kevin Warren might have his hand on Ryan Poles' shoulder throughout this process a little bit more closely, just because of the struggles of Poles. But here's what he did when he had that money. He went out, remember, linebackers. It was like, whoa, we got to get Flus's linebacker. So they go out and get TJ Edwards. TJ Edwards has probably been, I'd probably give him a B-plus so far in his time with the Bears. He has been as steady as anybody, offense or defense. Tremaine Edmonds, he has, to me, he has underperformed a little bit. C-plus-ish. Nate Davis, an absolute F. PJ Walker, backup quarterback. Whatever. DeMarcus Walker, I give DeMarcus Walker a B-. Andrew Billings was another one that they signed on a one-year deal, and then during the season, they gave him an extension because they liked him. So Andrew Billings, give me a B. Dante Foreman, another really kind of a whatever. Just for the hell of it, I'll give him a C. Robert Tonyan, the tight end, disappointing. The Chicago area guy, unfortunately, I'm going C- there, and he gets that because he had a really good relationship with Justin Fields and helped Justin Fields and whatnot. And then Travis Homer too, and that's, yeah, that's whatever. That's a good special teams backup depth piece, fill out the roster type of guy. So that's what he did when he had that money. So it brings us to, as if the Bears had any excuse to not go after Trey Smith before, I think they have to go all out for this guy, because I think that's what it's going to take to get this guy. For once in this town, and it's been a while since we have been able to say, like, you have a representative offensive line. It doesn't have to be the best offensive line in the league, but I am tired of that excuse being there for these quarterbacks, and it has been there for all of these quarterbacks of consequence through the years with Jay Cutler and the disastrous offensive lines that he had. Same deal for Mitch Trubisky. Same thing for him when they had guys out of place in that offensive line. Justin Fields was sacked 9 times in his starting debut in Cleveland. And every year we don't know how to evaluate these quarterbacks because the offensive line is never above average. So you have no choice but to go all out for Trey Smith. So hopefully if it needed heightening or sweetening of the pot, hopefully that this puts it over the top.
And how about we try to get Zach Martin out of retirement, Mark? How do you feel about that?
Seriously, the guy's a 9-time Pro Bowler. Why not make it double digits? Take it to 10.
I found it odd. Did everyone else find it odd that he just retired? He was just on the NFL's top 100 list last going into this past season.
Yeah, he must be hurt or dying or something.
Something happened. Mekhi Becton still available. Kevin Zeitler of the Lions. And then my guy. And I don't even really know if I still mean this or not, but I just like talking about James Daniels. Torn ACL last year. I think he's been a good offensive line. I don't know that he's necessarily the guy that you want to pour your cash into. But the Bears have resources. They have things that they can do. And the Gerald Everett thing, I think, is also symbolic of everything's going to change in that tight end room, except for Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet will be your classic Y tight end. Y tight end. That is what he will be. And now you have to get that move tight end. And we know that there's going to be a parade of tight ends and that Ben Johnson takes that position incredibly seriously, because we saw what he has done and continued to do in Detroit, obviously with Sam Laporta. So let's take a listen. We had Mike Valenti on this past week out of Detroit, and he was talking about tight ends and what Ben Johnson might be able to do with them.
Listen, but you're going to sign 17 tight ends. I hope you're ready. you're going to draft all of them. You're going to sign all of them. He's great at personnel and attacking. And look, Kmet to me can be a Laporta like tight end. Kmet has a lot of tools, and you just haven't had things in place to fully unlock all of it. But I wouldn't be shocked in the least if you go after a tight end, whether it be free agency or draft. No, you're absolutely making that conversion. I would be flabbergasted if the Bears didn't look completely different offensively. And it's going to begin and end with O-line, tight ends, personnel, running the ball, setting up throws. I mean, you're talking about, God, with Goff, they were throwing almost 37% of pass attempts were play action. You know, that you're making your quarterback's life easy, and that's what Ben Johnson has been great at.
Yeah, and you know, one of the other things that I loved, I mean, amongst other things, and get it, like this is full support for a guy who has made his mind up about this guy, but there are things that Ben Johnson will be able to do in Chicago that he could not do with the weapons that he had in Detroit, mainly the quarterback, Jared Goff, and mainly on the Bears side of things, Caleb Williams. So I'm so excited to see all of it start to take place and how they go about it and what the Bears do at really both of those positions that were released today, DeMarcus Walker and Gerald Everett. Hey, I'm still like, I am totally about the Bears going out and signing a defensive end if they want to do it. Like, I mean, if Abdul Carter is there at number 10 overall in the draft, then totally go for it. But if you want to put your money into the big, you know, into Myles Garrett, then I'm, well, actually, no, you'd have to trade for him. I guess I'm for the Bears trading away the 10 and maybe a couple of twos if they do want to go out and get Myles Garrett. I kind of conflated my information. Abdul Carter would be the guy that you would go out and draft from Penn State. So,
Mark, real quick, I'm curious to where you stand on, you know, the Bears being at number 10 where they are. Where are you? Because that's not really a great spot for an elite left tackle or an elite edge rusher. Where are you at on trading up to get one of those two needs?
Yeah, I mean, I'm more about the Bears going after a defensive tackle at this point. If they could move up to get somebody like a Mason Graham out of Michigan, I think that would be outstanding right now. If I was to do a mock draft right now, that would be the guy that I would go after. Abdul Carter would be another one of those as well. So those are all different possibilities. We are going to. Oh, we're still okay.
Yeah, we're good until 39.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But here's another one for you, Mark. Yeah. This is my biggest issue with. Especially so many people in this market that want to do like the I told you so on Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels. There's no way to compare the two right now for even a second. Jaden Daniels had every single thing working for him. He had the best coach in the NFL, in my opinion, Dan Quinn. He had a strong offensive line. He had decent enough skill players. And he had a playbook that worked in his favor. Caleb Williams had everything fighting against him except for the presence of DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome Odunze. That's it. Those are the only three things he had. He had those three things, but he didn't have a coach who could show him how to get the ball to them accurately in the right time. So I'm done with the Jaden Daniels versus Caleb thing. This is the first year, in my opinion, that they can actually be compared. I hate so many people in this market, this radio station, whatever, like these talking sports heads that just want to have the conversation to do a I told you so.
Yeah, for me, there's no I told you so whatsoever when it comes to this. It's more of Jaden Daniels and what Washington is doing is well ahead. I don't think I'm not afraid to say all of that is well ahead of Caleb Williams at this point. So, they do have a better structure. They did have better weapons. Cliff Kingsbury obviously is a better offensive coordinator than Shane Waldron. So all of that is true, but I do look at it and say, yeah, I think that absolutely, that is something that is absolutely plausible.
Mark, you doing something athletic tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
What are you doing
tomorrow?
Yes,
I am, as a matter of fact. I have been invited to, and I know Danny Parkins did this last year, but I have been invited to play in a scrimmage basketball game at the United Center tomorrow. Now, there are other score people that will be playing in this, and there is a score person that is playing named Gabe Ramirez, who was on the air last week, and he is already trash talking.
My brother is already like, if you don't drop 22-10.
22-10?
Well, because he's like, who's going to be out there? And I was like, I don't know. I think like Mark Grody. And he's like, if you don't drop
shots fired at Mark Grody.
And Mark Grody.
You can't do that.
Mark Grody, look, if he's listening right now, because this is airing in Chicago. If Mark Grody strikes me as the guy, like if you play basketball and like he's the fouler, like the guy that extends his arms, you know, like
Mark Grody have a wingspan
and just leaves him there. You know what I mean? And like when you try to dribble past him, he like just like clotheslines you. He's like, uh-uh, buddy, you're not getting by me there, buddy. Uh-uh.
Spot on, by the way.
Yeah, what a good impression. Sounds just like the real person.
I can't believe. He put me like he totally stared just because I'm a middle-aged white guy with a few extra pounds. He thinks that I'm going to come out there like Bill Laimbeer. Well, guess what? I am going to come out there like Bill Laimbeer now. He's going down.
I think you're coming out there like Philip Seymour Hoffman in Along Came Polly. White chocolate. Rain dance.
It's... I have no idea what to expect. I really don't. Did you play in this thing last year, Shane?
I was there filming Danny last year. I was the sideline reporter, and I was doing interviews and chasing Danny up and down the court. It was a ton of fun, man. A ton of fun. I know Burger Mini is going to be out there tomorrow.
Yeah,
Austin Huff from US 99. Gabe, of course.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, you guys are going to have a blast. Yeah, David Haw is going to be out there.
Crew. Yep. Yes. Yes, the Hall will be out there. Apparently, there
I worry about David being out there with you.
I mean, we've seen him slip and fall on just like regular regular sidewalk in Vegas.
No, I mean, I'm going the other way with David. Like, he's got the athletic background, the football background, the defensive-minded. I see Ball State over there. You know, so I worry about him, especially on the defensive end. I hope you're on the same team.
Right. And what people don't really know is David Haas, sneaky bad guy, off the court and on it. So he's going to do anything he can to, number one, get under your skin. Maybe a Tanya Harding? Maybe he's bringing his pearl necklace with him?
Wow. I completely disagree with that, especially upon hearing him today. He said that he's a distributor. He says he wants to share the basketball. So if that's true, then I feel like I would like to be on the Haw team.
It'll be fun, man. It should be. If it's the same as last year, it's Bill and Chuck out there as the coaches and team captains, so they'll pick their teams.
That will be fantastic.
If it's the same as last year.
It ought to be an interesting day. So I actually went out and bought my shoes today, so I'm all ready to rock. Did you guys?
Ooh, Marshall Harris too just texted. Oh, he wants to call in.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Okay, Marshall, give us a call. We could talk. Did you guys, real quick? Did you guys watch Canada beat the USA last night?
I did. You know what? It was a lot of fun. I'm a hockey fan, so I know not everyone sees it like how I see it. Like, it really felt like, you know, if you can have a game 7 overtime, like in a Stanley Cup final, it was that, like, I don't know, times 5 at least. You know what I mean? Like, I found the whole – I didn't watch the whole tournament, but I did watch last night's game front to back, and I thought it was just – it was great television. It was a great hockey game. You know, sometimes these games don't deliver, these elimination games like that, but I enjoyed every second of it, obviously, in spite of the outcome, as Pat Foley would say. But I thought it was really great.
It was rowdy fun. I was at a bar in Lincoln Park, I think. I think it was Lincoln Park, and it was – I mean, people were having a blast, a lot of country pride. My issue is, if I could feel that way about hockey like I did last night all the time, great. But that feeling with hockey specifically is such a fleeting moment for me for some reason. I don't know why.
The Connor McDavid final goal, too, was sick.
Insane.
I mean, getting the elevation and the velocity he had on that thing.
Yeah. Well, best player on the ice, man, decided the game. Yeah. That's what you love to see. Like, you love when stars are stars on a stage like that.
Yeah, and the last time they were in a similar scenario, the 2010 Olympics, Sidney Crosby with the game winner. So best player in the game now, best player in the game right back then. So it was something. It was fun to watch. Too bad at the end, Canada wins it, and back to the real stuff. I am told now that another one of the participants in tomorrow's scrimmage at the United Center and host of the Midday Show with Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris, is here. Marshall, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave you out, man. You're a very important part of this basketball game tomorrow.
You know, I'm on the road to recovery, so I have ramped up specifically for this date. I'm just happy to get some cardio in, running up and down the court. But hilarious, a couple of things. One, did you say you bought shoes just to play in this exhibition game? Did I hear that right?
I did. I needed them. And, you know, I walk a lot just like you. So the bottoms of my shoes, my primary shoes for working out and walking, are pretty worn down right now. So I went out and got some Hokas. I sold out. I did it.
What
Everybody
did you get?
Else has
I want to know what kind of basketball shoes you purchased. That's
you're
what I
playing
know.
Basketball in Hokas, Mark?
And I'm not going to be smart Hokas out here, but for basketball, for hoops, Grody?
RIP to your ankles, brother.
Really? Hold on. Did I buy bad shoes for basketball? Are you serious?
You bought shoes for running marathons, my guy.
Good shoes for basketball.
Are Hoka's okay? They're good to walk in, though, right?
Are you walking?
Yeah, they're good to walk in. No, but I didn't even know Hoka made basketball shoes, but I'm guessing.
I don't think they do, Marshall.
Shoes.
I don't
they
think
don't,
they
Marshall.
Do.
My guy went out there and bought some shoes for the Shamrock Shuffle, and he's going to go hoop.
That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like.
You could run, you could jog in these, but they're not made, like, they're not cross-purposed? Why not?
No, those would be cross trainers if they were cross-purposed. Listen, the running shoes are made to go backwards, or not even backwards, just forwards, and to run. They're not made for lateral movement. That's the number one thing with basketball shoes, court shoes versus running shoes.
All right, all right.
That clip you played of Gabe Ramirez, I want to let y'all know. You know how I was like basically immobile for 4 months? It's because Gabe made me play basketball with him, and I hurt my heel. I had a heel fracture from my time spent with Gabe Ramirez. Number two, David Haw is not messing around tomorrow. I have been forewarned, and I am forewarning you. David Hall has been looking for a play. He's like, Marshall, we need to go get some shots up somewhere. I was like, David, it's not that kind of game. And he's like, no, I need to get shots up. I can't go in there. And he's going to be about his business tomorrow. And I want to make sure that David Hall and Gabe Ramirez are on two different teams and that they are going at it like warring factions in a land dispute that goes back centuries in their clans. That's what I want to see tomorrow. Meanwhile, I'm just going to be out there trying to basically rev everybody up and get them mad at each other. I'm a rabble rouser when it comes to this because I know I'm playing free throw line to free throw line and below, not the rim, but the net. I'm playing below the net basketball.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. That takes the pressure because I imagined a scenario where nobody really knows what speed to go out there. But I suppose that's why we're going to have the coaches out there. You got Team Chuck. You got Team Wennington. So I guess you just follow their direction. And I honestly, I have no idea, Marshall. Do you have any other details on who else will be out there other than score people? Are there other media people? Who else is supposed to be out there?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be some of our listeners, honestly, that we're engaging with. And it's going to kind of be a potpourri, a mix and match. I just know that I'm just not trying to get hurt. That's what this is all about. I have no desire to go back to the life that I was living when I became a full-time employee at the score.
I hear you, Marshall, and I look forward to seeing you out there. What, 10:30? Is that when we're supposed to report to camp?
I haven't checked that email in like 3 weeks. I couldn't tell you. But between now and then, I'll figure it out.
I kind of glanced at it for the first time in 3 weeks after being sent emails to follow through on things. But, you know, that's just me. Marshall, thanks, man. I appreciate you.
All right. Appreciate you, Grode. Appreciate you, Shane Penny. Love you.
Love you, too, Marshall.
There is Marshall Harris showing some love. There's one more story that I want to talk about before we get out of here, and that is that the New York Yankees are changing their facial hair policy. Players can now have well-groomed beards, per Hal Steinbrenner. Used to be that the Yankees players could have mustaches, but no other facial hair. And Hal Steinbrenner released an entire statement about beards. So that's where baseball was today. As part of the rules, though, the hair, as far as like what I read and the way they were interpreting it, the hair for Yankees players cannot go past the collar still. So there's still some hair stuff in place. But Shane, I thought of you on this story because well-groomed beards are back. Does that make you feel better about life and baseball and the Yankees?
Well, if those damn Yankees can start doing it, I want to shave.
And members of damn Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah. No, I mean, I'm happy for these guys. Like, I felt so bad for Carlos Rodon when he had to shave his beard and Nick Swisher when he had to shave his beard. I feel bad for these guys. Everyone looks worse without a beard if you've had a beard for a while. It takes a long time to get used to the way that somebody's face looks if you've been looking at it with hair on it. So I'm happy for the Yankees for sure.
Tanny, I have a trivia question for you in regards to this story.
Okay.
It was in 1995 that the Yankees waived their facial hair policy in part for what player?
Was it David Wells?
No.
But he had a stash, didn't he?
He had a goatee, right?
Stashes were allowed.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but he just had the stash.
Pro stash.
Okay. Let me think about that. 1995. So this was probably a player that was not on the team, correct? This is probably an incoming free agent.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And he is a former White Sox. That is why I asked you. I guess Shane probably would have been in on this too. You guys are both White Soxians.
Danny Tartable.
Not Danny Tartable. It was, ready for this, Jack McDowell.
Oh, Blackjack.
Blackjack.
And he never had anything more than a goatee either, right?
But that's just it. They allowed, they made an amendment four goatees because of
because that was the style of the 90s. You know, you make an amendment for a goatee and a soul patch in probably.
Yes. Amendment. I'd love to go through the full list of amendments. And then
I'd love to know, Grody, who is deciding? Who is the judge? Did Steinbrenner's statement say who's the one that's going to decide if a beard is like well trimmed enough? Like that's
that's a great question, man.
Joe West come in.
You don't need to tighten that up. The other one that I was reminded of, and I kind of remember this back in 2013, it was Brian Wilson of the San Francisco Giants. So we talked about this on the Spiegel and Holmes show the other day, that Brian Wilson had like one of the original, he was one of the original big beard guys that everybody pointed to because he had a beard and we all thought that was neat. He had a beard. He would not sign with the New York Yankees in 2013 before he went to San Fran for all his fame because of the beard policy. So they were burned by it once again. And then there were a couple players. I don't like plenty of players have like on the serious side of it have spoken out about it, including Andrew McCutchen and Cameron Maben as well. So finally, they have gotten on board with the rest of the world when it comes to allowing for facial hair. And actually, I don't have the statement in front of me, but he was very much like Hal Steiner. It was actually a pretty good statement saying it's time, and I don't know why the policy existed, essentially, that we have to catch up with the times here.
I would like, you know, I probably have to fact check this, but I believe for years the White Sox have had a similar policy. Like, I don't think it was as strict as the Yankees one, but I believe, like, so I wonder if they are going to bend along with the times.
Well, it's facial hair length, right? That's why Jose Abreu had to put his goatee up into, like, a mini braid. And
hair
that's
length,
why,
hair length, and, too,
and that's
I think,
why Kopech had to wear his hair in a bun. So that's a Jerry thing with facial hair length and hair length.
Okay. And yet, I got trivia for you, Mark. Right. They did waive that policy for one player. I believe it was back
in the White Sox waived the policy?
Yes, White Sox waived that policy. I believe it was 2010. I could be wrong on that, but there was a very popular player.
Mike Clevenger.
in baseball, not with just the White Sox. I think 2010. Don't hold me to that, but it was around that time. Yeah.
Manny
Ramirez.
Oh, well, yes, that's you're right.
Oh, wow. Nice job.
Sorry, I thought that was open for everyone. My bad.
Nice job, Shane.
Oh, good, yeah. So let Manny have his hair, but, you know, as we know, Manny, White Sox legend, only around for a little bit. So.
Half the time with Clev, though, too, the White Sox let him wear his hair down. So he wasn't a 100% bun guy either.
Yeah.
Clev. So I think Jerry is just easing up in his age.
That's good.
Yeah.
He should ease up on signing Mike Clevenger.
Although, I do...
I know.
I don't mind the corporate aspect, the clean-cut corporate of the way the Yankees did their business, because it's different, right? Like, it's their own style. Like, it's not my – you know, I don't love clean-cut and corporate, obviously. I didn't work in radio, so I could wear a suit every day. But I do like that they were going against the grain of what everyone else was doing. And I'm kind of sad that that's going by the wayside now, personally.
Well, I like it as a power play, because you can't argue with the Yankees because of their World Series history. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of know what we're doing around here. So if we tell you we want you shaved, then you'll understand, yes? That would definitely be the policy for them. Let's take a break right now. When we return, though, the man hosting tonight is Judson Richards. So he will join us next for a little crosstalk. I'm Mark Grody right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Yeah, you know, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that, you know?
I like it.
Afternoons on the Score.
Welcome back in. I am Mark Grody in for Spiegel and Holmes. I always pause there because it's still, because of all the manifestations of the afternoon show, it doesn't just flow yet, but it is and will. And I am in for the fellows here for a few more minutes. The man that will get the mic after me starting at 6 o'clock is our friend Judson Richards of both The Score. You could also hear him quite a bit over on WBBM doing just about every single thing that there is. He is just Judson Richards. What's going on, my man?
Hey there, Mark Grody. We can manifest together.
I love to manifest. Did you, Mr. Baseball, watch the Cubs beat the Dodgers today?
You know, I've been running around a bit, but I do know the record of the Cubs, and I know that they are 2-0. I know the Dodgers have a $392 million payroll, and they can't beat the Cubs, so that can only lead us to one conclusion.
You know what? The Cubs sent a message today.
They did.
A 7-3 thump, and the Cubs are here, Dodgers. Don't think you could just sit back, man. That's a 7-3 win. I really wish the Cubs had gotten Bregman. And I know, like, that's duh. Everybody does, but it's really hitting me now watching these games and paying attention to what's going on in the division and the Cubs' chances. Like, they do look like they could potentially now be the best team in the division, you know, once the season starts, just relative to the competition that exists. But if they had gotten Bregman, I'd be more confident in thinking that they could actually win a playoff game or a playoff series.
You know, what's interesting is Bregman over the last 2 years, he has the third best WAR around baseball for third baseman. Isak Paredes is sixth. So Paredes' numbers at Tampa Bay over the last couple of years and what he did for a little bit of time with the Cubs, like, he's not that far removed from Bregman. So the Cubs trade Paredes, and then they also unload with Cody Bellinger. So you get Kyle Tucker, but then you say goodbye to two really productive players in Bellinger and Paredes. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have made that move, but I'm with you. Like, they would look like a vastly different team with Bregman in it, with all that they gave up, if you look at the salary dump of Bellinger, to go and get Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, things that they could have kept and still could potentially go out and get. I mean, Spiegel is more in the, has been more in the court of, you know, go out and get a top of the line starter over somebody, you know, like Vladimir Guerrero, who is available, a guy that you could trade for. I just feel like, man, if there was one more move or one more guy to make me feel good, because I feel pretty good about a lot of parts of their team, including the starting staff and seeing Jordan Wicks today. I mean, I am in high curiosity about how the Cubs will use him, how much he will be part of the rotation this year. Wicks, you know, will it be Wicks? Will it be Assad? But, you know, he looked good today. And I guess the reason that I kind of obsess over Wicks, Judson, is because, you know, he was a first-round pick, you know, later first-round pick, albeit not a top 10. I think he was 20 or 21. And I remember his very first game. Like, it gave up like an early homer and then settled down for five innings.
And now I want to know what he is, because he's been kind of, you know, was kind of struggled a lot, but there's obviously a lot of talent in that arm.
Right. And he's got that, in shape storyline going on, which we love for, you know, for camp, the guys show up in great shape. You know, Grody, I did watch a lot of yesterday's game because I'm kind of fascinated by the ABS, the automated balls and strikes.
Yeah. I did not see that game. So you tell me about that game.
Well, here's what I find most interesting about it. Did you know that the managers have no say in it? It is only the pitcher, the hitter, and a catcher who can make the call, and it has to be immediately. So there is no watching film. There is no holding up of the hand of the manager saying, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. It is absolutely immediate to make the decision. And, by the way, you only get two of them, but you get to keep them if you get them right. So if umpire is having a terrible game, you can just keep tapping on your head and just keep telling him that he's wrong, that he's wrong, that he's wrong, over and over and over, as long as you keep getting him right. I want it to happen right now. If they like it, it won't be implemented until 2026. But already, I'm like, let's do it. Let's just go ahead and do it. Baseball is getting more interesting by the minute.
Yeah. No. And people should know. I don't know if you've shared this with the audience in the times that you have hosted here on The Score, Judson Richards, but you played ball, didn't you? You played... Tell us of your baseball prowess, because I can't even quote it here right now.
You know, the best part about being drafted is that people will reference it, even though it meant absolutely nothing in the grand scheme of thing in Major League Baseball. I was the 1,000th pick in 2004 to the San Francisco Giants.
That's awesome.
What it meant to the Giants?
I don't care.
Nothing. What it meant to me? Everything. In fact, you guys were talking about Brian Wilson in the previous segment. I was a teammate of Brian Wilson's in Instructional League. It's pretty fascinating. He was like one of the most forgettable arms in Instructional League for the Giants in 2004. And then he showed up in low A ball and had like a, you know, low to mid 90s fastball or whatever he was doing, and then just climb the ranks, and all of a sudden he's this freakish guy with a wild beard, just a weird dude, and they won three World Series from what, 2010, 2012, 2014. But
that he didn't get that the Yankees couldn't, or he wouldn't go to the Yankees because of the beard policy.
Right. Right. I saw someone today, they put like a hipster beard on Babe Ruth. And it had us thinking like what could have been for Yankees greats in the past. But
that's fantastic.
You know, so many people are really yelling and screaming at the NBA of the problems of their game. And I look at Major League Baseball, and I don't know if we want to credit Theo Epstein, but it's wild that now it's like the NBA could take a page from Major League Baseball, the sport that seemed to wear America's pastime like a badge of honor. And it's like the game is so outdated. They're like, all right, well, then, you know what we'll do? We'll put a pitch clock on it. We'll speed things up. We'll stop the shift, right? You can no longer shift. We'll make the bases bigger so guys have to steal more. We'll get rid of the juice ball so the ball is in play more and we can watch our faster, more athletic guys show off. And now, like, we have robo-umpires in some way, shape, or form. Baseball, in warp speed, has decided, let's gear this towards what our fans are asking for. I'm just wondering when the NBA is going to follow suit.
Yeah, it's such a great point. It has happened quickly, and all of a sudden, for something that we've been talking about for at least a decade, the robot umpire. So to me, it also felt like, and I've mentioned this a couple times in filling in this week, that the future is here. Like, this thing that was fun to talk about is actually real and has been implemented, or will be, hopefully.
Yeah, they should do it right now.
Yeah, they should do it right now, but you know they won't. They can't. It's just, like, they should have done more to test it early on. I guess. I don't know, Judson. But I would like to know what you have coming up tonight. What have ye on The Score tonight?
Mike Sando of The Athletic. We'll talk some NFL with him. Should the Bears make a play for Myles Garrett? We will go deep into the combine and what the Bears will be looking at with Patrick Finley of Chicago Sun-Times. Cannot wait to talk to Chuck Swirsky in the 8 o'clock hour. He had a great call last night. It sounded like it broke his heart. And maybe he'll offer some advice for Speaks. On how to come up with a signature call. That's at 8 o'clock.
Okay. All right. That's Judson Richards. He will be with you tonight from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock on The Score. So please do listen to him. Thank yous to Shane Reardon and Chris Tannehill for producing this here short show.
Thank the Cubs engineer for Speaks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Walt Ellis, the engineer, thank you. We fully appreciate the work that you do, Walt Ellis. Matt Spiegel, are the boys back together next week, guys? Is it the Spiegel and Holmes show starting on Monday next week?
Spiegs and Layla Rahimi.
Spiegs and Layla Rahimi. Good for Lawrence, man. Take a real vacation, kid. I love it. I'm Mark Grody. I'll talk to you guys later on The Score. Judson is next.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.